Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you.
7:12, it's that time of the week where Joe and Cindy Farini join us. And first of all, Cindy, thank you so much for your hard work on my behalf last week.
Well, thank you so much for letting me be in there. I hope you had a great time together as a family.
I did, and I'm sure people are going, oh, man, he's back? Why can't we have Cindy?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to step in for you.
You betcha. So, okay, when you guys go out and speak for Family Life all across the country, these Weekender members, how often do you encounter young couples living together before marriage?
Well, Brian, this is perfect that you asked that question, and thank you for sharing about your plans before you married and Kathleen's before hers, because yeah. Even though that is really rare these days, it's just quite an amazing and really wonderful thing. But yes, you are right. When we go speaking for Family Life, they have two sessions that are specifically for pre-married. So it could be pre-married, you're dating, or you could be engaged, or you could be remarried, if there's a remarried situation in that group as well. And I would say, we haven't taken a survey to make particular numbers, but I would say 80% probably live together. And thus it makes the 20% in that room kind of looking around with their sweet little innocent, you know, I can't wait to get married and have sex and be with my husband and forever and ever. And look rather naive and innocent and sometimes almost silly because of the way that this has sort of morphed into, well, everybody does it. And yet there are statistics that we do share with them that really show something a whole lot different than are in these starry-eyed pre-marrieds who are living together.
So what are some of those numbers about longevity of marriage relationships in light of living together?
You bet. Cohabitation surveys are showing that of 100 couples that cohabit, 40 will break up before they marry. Of the 60 that do marry, 45 of those will get a divorce, leaving only 15 who do cohabit to have any chance for a lasting marriage relationship.
Hmm. How does that compare to any numbers regarding those who wait to live together until marriage? Do we have numbers on that or not?
You know what? I don't have those numbers on hand at this point. But
it's certainly scary, Joe, to see that only 15 of the 100 are still together. That obviously shows there's some complexities living together before marriage.
Sure.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you hear statistics, and this is not something quotable from some kind of research, but when you see that there's a 50% rate of divorce inside and outside the church, and you realize from what Joe just read that only 15% are actually going to stay married, that's a very big difference from 50% who just that divorce in general. So I don't know that we have that other statistic, but nonetheless, a broken marriage, a dissolved marriage is still a tragedy because it affects so many different people.
So then as we examine this, I mean, somebody could be listening now where they're like, well, we're engaged, we're living together, it's just too late. How could we possibly do this over again or fix it? What would you have to say to them?
You know, this was really kind of interesting. Kathleen and I had lunch with a friend of ours who's a counselor, and this is what prompted us to take this topic. This was actually a question from someone that I had in my little archive, so I thought I'm going to bring it up because our friend was sharing with us. I asked her the question. I said, what kind of results do you see in being able to counsel a couple, a pre-married couple who is living together? And she said something that was rather surprising to me, but not shocking. She said, it's really hard to counsel with them because the back door is always open. Mm-hmm. And I think that is such a good word picture, really, that, hey, if I don't really like whatever about you, I don't have to stick around.
Right.
And in the book, we've mentioned this book numerous times. It's by Glenn Stanton, and it's called The Ring Makes All the Difference. And here's one of the things that he says. He says, even if couples consider themselves essentially married, mm-hmm. they know that without a marriage license, they are freer to exit the relationship at any time. This lack of security in the mind of each partner affects how they deal with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's such an important point to make because there really is nothing keeping someone from just walking out the back door other than like a lease or something. You know, it really is. There's no legal repercussions there going on in terms of a marriage relationship. And so as you look at this, what are your recommendations for couples who either are engaged or thinking about becoming engaged?
Well, I think that if you're living together, I think what I share with the couples, I think you really need to evaluate what kind of an example that you're setting, especially as you call yourself a Christian, mm-hmm. what kind of examples you're setting to other Christians, and really, what is the motivation? Often it's we're saving money, we don't want to be apart, and there's certain things. I mean, God is going to take care of all of those things for us. Mm-hmm. You know, you never have enough money to get married. You never have enough money for kids. So my recommendation is I usually say to people, if you really want to make it right and you really want to be a good example, then on Monday or Tuesday after you leave this weekend to remember, go to your pastor and ask if you could please arrange to be married. That you realize now from what you've learned that this isn't God's plan or his will for us, and we would like to be married. And then if you want, then in 2 months, 3 months, a year, then have a big, if you will, wedding celebration.
Interesting.
But a lot of people say, well, we're saving for the wedding. And I'm just thinking like, but you're already married, really. So so that's my recommendation. But often, honestly, often people just kind of look at me like I have a third eye.
Really? Mm-hmm. What about if you recommend counseling or something, like a Christian counselor?
Well, you know, a lot of times people are saying that they are seeing someone, but just like our friend said, I feel like there's a lot of pressure there that if they don't like the pressure, they can just leave. But honestly, I kind of feel like there's almost like, well, we're young, we know what we're doing, and you're old, and what do you know? But, you know, the statistics that Joe just read, they really speak for themselves. And we're not pointing a finger to anybody. The statistics are sharing. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yeah. And so, if Joe, do you have any final thoughts for us on this one?
Well, I was going to say, you know, besides the actual statistics, you know, we can give several illustrations of the devastation, what will happen as a result of cohabitating, and of course, premarital sex, which we haven't even spoken that word yet, but we have to assume that's taking place as well.
Right.
We can just give illustration after illustration. I'll give just one because I think it really demonstrates very clearly that the consequences of cohabitating and premarital sex, and that is that we had a woman who attended one of our conferences who said that before marriage, her fiancé said to her, I can't wait any longer to be with you. And she wanted to say that she was quite flattered at the time to be so desired, and so they became, you know, sexually involved. Mm. Well, now that they're married and her husband travels extensively, sometimes when he's away, she sometimes wonders to herself, what was he really saying when he said, I can't wait any longer to be with you? Mm-hmm. Or was he just saying, I can't wait? And what happens if he can't wait and I'm not there? And this is just one example, and we can give you many examples, of a lack of trust that is birthed out of premarital sexual activities like cohabitating and just premarital sex in general. And so I think that the message we would send to someone is that these things like cohabitation, premarital sex, or other things like pornography, what they do is that it increases the level of mistrust in that relationship. And we know statistically, I guess we can wrap it up with these more numbers here, is that couples who are sexually active before marriage will have a higher incidence of affairs after marriage, and couples who are sexually active before marriage will have a higher incidence of divorce after marriage. So, I mean, the numbers are there. So, I mean, if we have a couple that's willing to listen to some objective facts, then we have a good opportunity to speak into their lives.
Excellent. So if folks want to get connected to you two and learn more about this, how can they do that?
Well, there's two ways. Either Facebook on My Marriage Matters. If you come and like the page, you'll get a daily, about 9 o'clock, you'll get a daily little hello with a question, something to think about. That would be one way. And you can email through there, but we kind of prefer our emails through our website at joeferrini.com or cindyferrini.com. It winds up in the same place. We see that a little bit quicker. But I really feel that, you know, this is a topic that young couples need to address. And if they're afraid to address it with each other, that becomes a complication right there. Because one of the things that Glenn Stanton says is, cohabitation is really an insult to your beloved. It's saying, I'm not totally sure about you. Can I give you a test drive first so I can be sure? And who wants to start a relationship out with that kind of a wishy-washy thought?
Yeah, amen to that. And thanks you, too, once again, for all of your help and your advice. And we look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.